right on to our regular segment every week, Twitterati. We don't have an enormous amount of time, but we're going to do as much justice as we can to Dr. Andrew Weatherall's choices in Twitter. Thank you so much for joining us, Andrew.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're an anaesthetist at the Children's Hospital Westmead.
Yep.
You're a pre-hospital specialist working with CareFlight.
Indeed.
You've done 3 aid trips so far to India.
Yeah, I'll get around a little bit.
And you're doing a PhD exploring monitoring of brain tissue in pre-hospital patients.
That's the kind of thing that you stumble into when you're boarding a base on the hangar.
And you blog as well. I mean, where do you find time? And now you're with us on a Friday night.
Indeed, I am. I had just a few minutes spare, so I thought I'd drop by.
You must have access to some pretty good drugs to be working this
hour. Well, when you're an anaesthetist, well, you know, you're all over the pharmacology.
I'll leave that alone. Look, tell us, are you an avid Twitter fan? Are you an avid tweeter?
I have become so, yeah. I actually got into it initially because I started into this research PhD with essentially no other infrastructure around me as a researcher. So I used it to connect with lots of those sorts of people, and it's been invaluable ever since.
Now let's go to your first story. I love this. Tell me where you found it and a little bit about it. You say it's called a sloth story.
Yeah, it is a sloth story. It's actually about like a slothageddon. It's something I picked up from Megan Chapman, another PhD student online, and she shared this with me. It's a story of a lady who lost out on her dog, went to an animal shelter, found herself leaving with a sloth, and then suddenly in the midst of Suriname became the place that you go to if you have sloth problems. And having just started to learn it, she was asked to be involved as they cleared an area where they thought there was about 14 sloths, and over the space of a couple of months ended up looking after about 200. And it's a pretty extraordinary story. And I like it partly because it's very much about the accidental generation of a whole charity that now looks after sloths. And so if you see the link that I'll tweet out, it's got a whole lot of great videos of sloths, which should really be the new cats of the internet. They are incredibly cute little animals.
They've got these extraordinary smiles. I learnt a lot about them, and they're not necessarily lazy. They just do everything quite slowly. They can be quite active.
Indeed. Not only can they be active, it turns out they're a lot more intelligent than I gave them credit for, including the one that had been trained to use the toilet.
I know. There was lots. There's the two-toed and the three-toed sloth. But I have this image of this woman's house with her 200 sloths just kind of hanging from the rafters.
Yeah, if you look at the link, there's actually a few photos of them just hanging from every which way.
Now we're going to go on to your next choice, which is one of my favourite books when I was young, The Little Prince. Again, tell us about where you found this and what attracted you to this story.
So this one I picked up from Brain Pickings, which is a pretty popular account on Twitter. And it was just commemorating the fact that it's actually 71 years since The Little Prince was put out. And it's one of my favourite books, I think partly because it's not really just a kid's book. It's actually an adult's book with a lot of very good messages for adults about how you should actually maybe focus on the essential stuff. And there's actually a new exhibition happening at the Morgan Library where they have the original watercolours and original manuscript, which the author, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, actually handed to somebody as a gift because he said he didn't have anything valuable to give them. And so he just handed them this. And it's replete with all the cigarette burns and coffee stains and all the markings of a person who works till 2 a.m. doing work, for which I feel a certain amount of affinity.
Well, the story stood the test of time, but so have the illustrations. They're just charming.
Yeah, I'm intensely jealous of anybody who can actually illustrate anything because it's a skill that I don't have. And it's amazing how just with a few lines so much is conveyed.
Now, your next choice, regeneration of an organ. This obviously would have lots of interest for you as somebody in the medical profession. Again, tell us where you found this and a little bit about it.
This story is actually really exciting, and I think I first came across it from Apuli Divasekara, who's online as at Apuli, and he's quite avid and active about all sorts of science things online. And basically, a group of researchers in Edinburgh from Scotland, which is a place obviously more commonly known for researching deep-fried foodstuffs, have taken a particular protein within the thymus. And the thymus is an organ that is involved in your immune system. And in mice, they've managed to switch it back on just by working on a single protein, which has guided some stem cells to actually go back and essentially rebuild a thymus that wasn't doing anything. And so the spillover effect of that to other areas, you can imagine, could be really quite exciting.
Absolutely. And is there something about the thymus that makes it an organ that's easy to regenerate? Is it a complex organ?
I actually am not 100% sure of that. I know it's an important organ from an immunological viewpoint. Why they chose that specifically, I couldn't tell you for sure.
And pretty important for things like, you were saying, Alzheimer's, cardiac disease, and so forth?
Well, just the general area of regenerative biology is potentially significant for all of those things, and I can well imagine, and I need to look into this, quite significant if you're thinking about the sorts of things that otherwise need organ transplantation, where being able to regenerate organs and help them prevent the damage of disease could be a really big step in the future.
Now, Dr. Wetherill, can you just quickly give us your Follow Friday, just one?
My Follow Friday would be at Buzzhoot Raw, which is a fantastic little site, again, from a jealousy point of view, because they managed to condense blog entries into 300 words plus some amazing illustrations. And this week's happens to be on bioluminescence and features the artwork of an Australian guy, at James Hudson.
Dr. Andrew Wetherill, thanks for being with us on Twitterati.